Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the blessing. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for leading us into all of your will. I want us to just ask the Lord for the spirit of revelation and knowledge and understanding. Shall we pray for a moment? Let's ask the Lord. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom, revelation. Thank you for the blessing given us, Lord, the understanding. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your help, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. How many of us here are pastors? Oh, can I see your hand properly, please? Oh, thank you. Wonderful. So this morning, I want to talk about the ministry. Amen. And the power of light in the ministry. Amen. I believe that ministry, this is a light conference. Wow. So I believe that ministry is a product of the light which you have in you. Amen. The light you have determines what ministry you are able to accomplish. Is that not so? So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Is the screen working? If possible, please. Scriptures. Beautiful. Now notice that we can all look on the screen. It's easier. Beautiful big screen. I wish I had one of these. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Everybody say light of the knowledge. All right. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right. So please keep the scripture there, please. The knowledge that we have is light. Amen. Say light. Light. This is a light conference. So the knowledge that we have is light that we have. And your ministry, both your speed, your accuracy, the fulfillment of your calling depends on the light you have. And the light is the light of the knowledge. Amen. So, in Proverbs 6, verse 23, please, Proverbs 6, 23. I want it on the screen as well, please. Proverbs 6, verse 23. Beautiful. All right? Okay, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Okay, so the commandment of God is a lamp, and the law of God is light. So God's law, all right, is light for us. And I believe if I want to run out of this building, okay, and this place is in total darkness, I will be slow, I will hurt myself, I may trip over this speaker, this screen, I may run straight into the chairs, and I will go very slowly also because I really can't see what I'm doing. So my accuracy, my speed, the fulfillment of my calling, and everything will depend on the amount of light I have. So we are all located somewhere, and we all need some amount of light. Hallelujah. And the light determines what you can do and what you end up doing. That's really what has happened. That's really what happens. Everyone who is doing what he's doing is doing it based on the light that he or she has. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 130. It says, Psalm 119, verse 130, please on the screen. Beautiful. The entrance of thy words giveth light. All right? So, when you start to receive his word, you start to have more light. Now, when I say his word, I mean the word about ministry, because I'm talking about ministry now. I'm not talking about salvation. When it comes to working for God and doing the work of ministry, you go as far in ministry as you have light in ministry. Now, it's interesting that most pastors don't study ministry as a subject. And most pastors don't study Most pastors don't listen to and watch videos on ministry. And neither do they read books on ministry. Maybe because people don't write much on ministry. How do I get this out? Yeah, thank you. Like this, the very first book that he pulled out is called The Art of Ministry. All right? Ministry is an art. People mostly buy books on money. How to be a millionaire. How to have abundance. How to be rich. How to be successful. But I'm talking about serving God and being in ministry. Serving God and being in ministry. The words of God will give you light and guide you in ministry. You go only as far as you can see. As soon as you get to a very dark place, you slow down or you stop if you are clever. All right? So you can see in ministry that most pastors and ministers are in pockets of isolated knowledge. What they have, they stay in that pocket and they don't break out to new knowledge. But this conference marks the beginning of you entering into new light. Can I have an amen from somebody? So God wants us to break out into new light. Hallelujah. And when you do that, you'll begin to have wonderful blessings and changes. Psalm 119 verse 105, you all know that verse. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. So the word of God now becomes a light to thy path. Hallelujah. And this light is the light that lights your way in ministry and in life. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Verse 2. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 3. In him was life. All right, and the life was the light of men. So men need light. Men need light. And the light determines what you are going to do. If you remember when Jesus met the woman who had been Oh, let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 is also beautiful. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So I believe that in the Philippines, in Manila, and also all over the Philippines, the darkness that exists, all right, is a darkness that can be overcome by the light that you are carrying because of Jesus. I've not found anywhere that this light doesn't work. You see, if you have many pastors, you have many excuses of why things are not working. Are you with me? I'll say it again. If you have many pastors, you have many excuses why things are not working. Oh, pastor, the church is not working. Church is not growing. These people are like this. You know, these people, they don't like this. These people, they don't like giving. These people, they don't go to church. They come this week. They don't come next week. They don't like this. They are like that. Many complaints and many excuses. But you change the pastor and bring a different person there. The same place where the thing is not working starts to work. Because the problem is from the person. All right? I was telling one lady who was having some serious problems in her marriage. I told her, listen, you know, if I give you another husband who is better than the one you have, you'll still be complaining. Because there's a level of problem that comes from you. It's not really the person, but it's you who have to become peaceful. And you need to become restful and accepting of what you have. Because you can always be complaining, nya, 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 always with the best husband. Because if you've been in the ministry for some time, you have a lot of pastors. You also see a lot of marital problems. People who have marital problems, pastors, number one. And many people who have good partners are still not happy. So, there's often things to do with us that have to change. Not the people or not somebody else. Because somebody else has something far worse than what you have and is happier. And the same thing in the ministry. There are people who have more difficult places and their churches are working. Yeah, more difficult than what you are complaining about. And their churches are working. And the ministry is working and is growing. So, let's start to look at ourselves. Because there is a light that God is giving us. When it's shining, there is no darkness that cannot be overcome by the light that God is giving us. Kabaya shakabayana. So, John chapter 8 verse 12. Look at John 8 12. When Jesus met the woman who was caught in adultery. And he forgave her, if you remember. Do you remember? John 8, chapter 8 and verse 12. He said, Jesus forgave the woman. And then he turned to the people who were standing there. Everybody was watching him. He turned to them and said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. And that was, he was showing the power of forgiveness. He was showing the power of forgiveness. And he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of this life. So you need light in this life. How much more in the ministry? You need a lot of light in the ministry. And the light that I'm sharing with you is the light of the knowledge. The light of the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, the light of the knowledge of God. The knowledge itself is light. Now, if you look in Daniel chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 11, you'll see the advice given by the king's wife. All right? Are you watching this beautiful screen? It's nicer than your Bible, I tell you, and than what you are looking at. Just look at this beautiful one up there. You know, this is when there was a big crisis in Babylon, and there was a hand writing on the wall. And everybody was terrified. Everybody was wondering what's going to happen. Then the wife of Belshazzar advised her husband, all right, and said, he said, this is what she said. He said, there is a man in thy kingdom. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, which is the Holy Spirit. He didn't know what it was. So, you know, when you don't know something, you have to use your own terminology. All right. And he says, in the days of thy father, all right, light was found in him. Light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. All right. So amazing light was found in this man in the days of your father. All right, Nebuchadnezzar. Because this woman was reminding her husband that in your father's time, there was a man in whom was found in the days of your father, the first thing that was found in him was light. So Daniel was full of light and full of guidance and instruction, knowledge. And in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, this man had light and understanding and wisdom. So God wants us to have light and understanding and wisdom. And it changes everything when you have light and when you have knowledge. Now you find pastors are the people who don't search for knowledge and don't search for new things that God is doing and saying. Amazing. We are the ones who need light. You know, many years ago, a man came to me and gave me a prophecy. I was a student. I was a teenager. Was I a teenager? I must have been a teenager. And he said to me, I saw you in a vision holding a flaming torch and leading some people going somewhere. I was not a leader then, but I was a student in school. You know, so that prophecy is the prophecy of becoming a minister of the gospel, holding a flame, light, and leading people because you have the light. So this church would not exist if the one who came here many years ago, Dr. Lester Samra, had not had a certain light. I believe you know the story of Dr. Lester Samra. He had a light. And now your pastor, David Samra, has also a torch that is leading for many years many people. You see, and we have to be listening to the advice. You see, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom. So whenever you see somebody with light, look at verse 12, the very next verse. This is what you're supposed to do. It says, for as much as an excellent spirit, okay, and knowledge, all right, and understanding, and interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom thy father named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called. Call for Daniel. You see, you have to get a person who has the light. Not everybody has the light. But it's amazing, you know. People from the outside see things. This woman who didn't even go to church, she could see that Daniel was full of light and was advising that they should go and get Daniel because he's full of light. And you see, the Holy Spirit is showing you that there are people that are full of light. You are supposed to get them into your life. Let Daniel be called. And he will show, continue please, he will show thee, please continue the verse. interpretation. Hallelujah. Is it not amazing? Interpretation. What is interpretation? Interpretation is the understanding of the Bible and of the words of God. Amen. Interpretation has to do with the understanding of the words of God. Amen. And I tell you, until you are ready to go and call Daniel, you are not likely to experience what God says. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, verse 27, I want us to read it on the screen. It's nicer on the screen. How many are enjoying this beautiful screen? Wow. Now, this is Philip. How many have heard of Philip? From where we get Philippines. All right. Now, he arose and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. That's why there are many people in Ethiopia who are having Jewish names. First from Solomon and this one. All right, Solomon and the Queen of Sheba and then this man. A eunuch of great authority under Candace, the Queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Please continue. We are reading. We are continuing. Verse 28. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, okay, and reading Isaiah, the prophet. He was reading Isaiah. Oh, we all have Isaiah, the prophet. Most of us, when we read Isaiah, we don't understand it. It makes us sleep. You know, one day I was talking to a lady who couldn't sleep. She said, she struggled. I said, read Isaiah. You will sleep. All right? So, many of us don't understand the things we are reading. Okay? Now, verse 29. Beautiful. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go to this man. And speak to him. And the Spirit is also saying to us, go here, do this. We must be supernatural. If you are not supernatural, you are going to miss out on God. Verse 30. And Philip ran hither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? It's a big question. We are all reading the Bible. It's not we read the Bible and fall asleep. We don't understand what we are reading. Now, look at verse 31. Beautiful. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? How can I understand except some man should guide me? You see, this is what we need. That is why Belshazzar's wife said, there is a man in thy kingdom. Daniel 5:11. There is a man in thy kingdom. God always has somebody, a man or men, who will be guides. He says, how can I understand? Oh, your screen man is becoming an expert, I tell you. He's just changing. Beautiful. You see, there is a man in thy kingdom. All right? In whom is the Spirit of the Holy God? In the days of thy kingdom, the days of thy father, light and understanding. There is a man in thy kingdom. You can underline that. There is a man in thy kingdom. There is a man in thy kingdom. That's why the Bible says, when God said, he said, and God, he ascended and gave gifts to men. What were the gifts? He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. When God wants to give you a gift, he gives you a man. A man. Yeah. A man. So back to Acts chapter 8, he says, how can I understand this except some man should guide me? All right? So many of the things that we have in our lives, we cannot we cannot understand until we are humble and open our hearts to be guided in ministry. Now, I am in the ministry by the grace of God, you know, for about, you know, quite a number of years. And many of the things that I have seen, I've seen them through the light that God has permitted me to see and to have through people. Amen. Because people are the channel through which, if you are humble enough, you will receive light and knowledge. Just like the eunuch received light through Philip. And Belshazzar received light through Daniel. All right? And God gave gifts to men. And the gifts he gave were apostles, prophets. No, not everybody is an apostle. Hey, if you want to be an apostle, an independent, when God hasn't called you to be independent, you are headed for disaster. Listen, read your Bible. Who wrote Ephesians? Who wrote Philippians? Who wrote Romans? Who wrote Colossians? Who wrote Hebrews? Who wrote Timothy, Titus, Corinthians, Romans? Who wrote it? Paul. Timothy never wrote to anybody. Timothy was receiving instructions from Paul. Is it clear? So there are Pauls and there are Timothys. If you are a Timothy and you try to force yourself to be a Paul, you are heading for disaster. Because you are not a Paul. So there are people who are to receive instructions. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. There are people who are to receive, can we put it up please? People who are to receive instructions, right? And there are people who are to receive instructions, even from men. Paul was telling Timothy, do this. Mr. Screenman, please. Okay, now, if you can go to verse 1 first. So we start from verse 1. Beautiful. Now, what did he say? Thou therefore my co-equal. Thou therefore my co-equal. Thou therefore my friend. Thou therefore my brother in Christ. No, thou therefore my son. We are not all the same. It's communism that tries to make us the same. There is nothing like communism in Christianity. In Christianity, we have fathers, we have sons, we have rank. There's rank in the spirit. Even demons know. Is it not amazing? You know, the first people to recognize Jesus on earth were devils. As soon as they saw, they said, hey, the Son of God. Oh, that's the Pharisees. And everybody couldn't know who he was. Even his disciples took a long time to realize who he was. But the demons could see, say, hey, he is here. Have you come to torment us? And he said, quiet. Devils recognize people. Devils recognize rank in the kingdom of God. If we were all the same, when the seven sons of Sceva went to cast out devils, they caught a madman who had superhuman strength. And they said, we are casting you out in the name of Jesus. The people said, yes, Jesus, we know Jesus. We had a lot of problems with him. Paul, we also know. But you, who are you? Come on. And the demons, one demon empowered the right hand, one demon empowered the left hand, one demon took the leg, and they beat up the seven sons of Sceva properly. They lashed them. More than the Singaporean lashes that you get when you go and misbehave in Singapore. You know, have you heard about the lashes they lash in Singapore? Do they have some here too? Okay. And we know Paul. We know what is his name? Jesus. We know Jesus, we know Paul. You, who are you? Come on. If you want to learn karate, you should have seen the karate in that demon-possessed man. He beat all the seven. Jackie Chan wouldn't even come near the sons of Sceva when the demon possessed the guy. It wasn't easy for them. They ran away naked. He took off their clothes one by one. He locked the door and took off their clothes. Seven of them naked, they ran out. You see, there is rank in the kingdom. And that's why there are certain things you shouldn't attempt. So if we start churches and branches, you must know that there are people that are branches. There are Timothys. There are Pauls. There are people who are to receive instruction. Now look at the instruction. That therefore, my son, number one, be strong. Okay? Number two, the things you have heard of me or the messages you heard me preaching. Okay? Among the same with the same messages, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he was telling Timothy what to preach. He was telling Timothy what to preach. He wasn't leaving it to Timothy. Oh, just decide whatever you want. We are leaving people to decide what they want to our own head. When you should be learning how to preach from somebody who has already, who is anointed and of that rank in the ministry. So pastors must seek more light and more knowledge so that you can go higher in the ministry. This is what I really feel, you know, people are isolated in pockets of knowledge. Pockets of knowledge. People live and work in pockets of knowledge. I've lived and worked in a pocket of knowledge. That's why I like traveling. Every time I travel, I learn something. I learn something. Yeah, staying at home doesn't make you learn. You are isolated and you don't know that you are isolated. Oh, yes. You see, years ago, I got out of my house and I knew of Yonggi Cho. And I knew that, oh, this man has something to do with church growth. I just heard the word church growth, church growth, church growth. And because of that, I decided to travel from my country. That was in 1994, I believe. To Korea, which is a long way away. My church wasn't so big or whatever, but I wanted my church to grow. You see, you can't just sit there and hope for things to work. Things don't just work by osmosis. Do you know osmosis? The science students will know osmosis, but the art students will not know osmosis. Osmosis is a scientific thing, all right? Those of you who are economists and bankers. Hallelujah. Things don't just work. He says, there is a man in thy kingdom. So I said, I'm going to Korea. He said, I'm trying to break out of the bubble of isolated knowledge, isolated bubbles of information that keep you confined and keep you in a certain place. Little island. Yeah. So I broke out and I came to Korea. And there, I started to hear and see church working, church growing. I met your pastor, Pastor David Samral, there. I went up to him one day. I said, please pray for me to have a big church. Do you remember? Yes. I said, please pray for me to have a big church. He said, you will have a big church. You need to love God. Yes. Then I heard him preaching about visitation. Yes. And I always say so. So my book here, which I, you see, again, knowledge. I'm talking about knowledge. Are you there? Please, where are these books? Give me Art of Shepherding. Find for me, please, help me. The three, Art of Shepherding, what it means to be a shepherd and transform. Shepherding, how to be a good shepherd. how to be a good pastor. Yeah. Yeah. These three books. I'm talking about light and knowledge. Because you see, I just have 1 hour so I can introduce you to something. Amen. Do we have it in Tagalog as well? Yeah. Ang ibig sabihingin pagingin isang pastol. Is it correct? Something like that. Kabaya balabasha. The art of shepherding. Oh, ang sining pag pastol. Is it correct? Yeah. And what is this? Baguhin ang iyong ministerio bilang isang pastor. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is a shepherd in Nigeria, in the Yoruba language. We don't have a word for pastor and another word for shepherd. The word for looking after goats and looking after sheep is the same word for being a minister of the gospel. It's the name for a pastor in Yoruba language in Nigeria. Because you know how I knew I was in Nigeria, I was preaching, and then I was talking about shepherding. And I said, shepherd. And I said, interpret. And he was saying the same thing. And I said, no, shepherd. Shepherd, not pastor. He said, please, here, to look after goats and sheep is the same as looking after God's people. It's the same thing. Amazing. So to be a shepherd, you can be a good shepherd or a bad shepherd. Just like you can be a good businessman or a bad businessman. You can be a good husband or a bad husband. You can be a good president or a bad president. You can be a good doctor or a bad doctor. Everything, you can be a good or bad of it. And I have a book here, Transform Your Pastoral Ministry. To transform your pastoral ministry. And the whole section in this book, which I wrote on shepherding, I learned from Pastor David Samrell. This book is divided into four. I learned everything from somewhere. You see, all original people are fake. You are not original. There is nothing original. I don't believe in this original. Be an original. I don't believe. I believe in copying. Yes. I believe in copying. That the art of following. Gaius, you know, help me. The art of following. That's what Jesus taught. Follow me, and I'll make you. That's why you are nothing, because you follow nobody. You become nothing because you follow nobody. Follow me and I will make you. So you are not made into anything because you follow nothing. And all this original, be an original, be another, God made you as a special, whatever you are. Look, let's be serious. After God made one person, everybody else is a copy. Yeah, look, Ecclesiastes 1, I think verse 5, it says, there is nothing new under the sun. If there is anything new, say, see. If there is anything new, see, it has already been of old. It has already been. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? No, it has already been of old time. Ecclesiastes 1, I think verse 5. Find it, please. You are a new shepherd. You are a new... No, find it. Find it, please. Mr. Man, find there is nothing new under the sun and put it up. Help. When I go, you are going to be a great help to Pastor David when he's preaching. You'll just be magic on the screen. Yes. Beautiful. Shepherding. How to look after people. You are complaining your church is not working. Church is not growing. You are complaining because, you see, you've never bought a book about shepherding. Yeah. You are isolated in your pocket of ignorance. But you've never decided to study how to do it. Okay, thank you. The thing which has been is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which... I think it's the verse before that. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? No, it has already been of old time. Yes. Is there anything? Then it's 10. It's verse 10. Yeah. That's it. Finally. Thank you. Come, I'll give you a free book after church. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Is there any pastor? Is there any shepherd? Is there any book where it may be said, see, this is a new thing? It has already been of old. I don't believe in all that nonsense about original. To move fast in ministry is to follow, is to copy. Yes. To search forward is to look at things that are working and follow them. That's why I wrote a whole book on the art of following. Beautiful. Where is that book? The Art of Following. The Art of Following. Yeah. Ang Sining Paksunod. Paksunod. Correct? Yes, the art of following. Follow somebody. Follow. Me, I am a follower. I am a copier. Apart from examinations, I copy. Yes, I copy. I'll copy you 100%. I shamelessly, I don't care. Once I see you are succeeding and it's what God has asked me to do, please allow me to copy you. I will copy you. Yes. Yes. How do you think Korean? When you read this book, you say, how do you think Koreans became rich? By copying. They didn't know. 1950, the country was flattened. 1950, just 1950. The country was flattened by war. Yonggi Cho said that when Koreans said they were going to make a television, people laughed. When they said that a Korean would make a TV, they laughed. Today, everybody has a Korean TV. Yes. When they started making cars, they didn't know how to make them. So they decided to copy. Daewoo copied Opel. SsangYong copied Mercedes-Benz. Hyundai copied Toyota. So one time my mother bought a car, a Daewoo. So a new car. Daewoo. It looked 100% like an Opel. Then I opened the engine. You see, they had not learned how to copy the engine. So the engine was Opel engine. They've written on it Opel. Because they could only copy the body. They couldn't do the engine. I bought a car myself, SsangYong. Opened the engine, Mercedes-Benz engine with the sign. Because they could only do the body. They were good at wheels, welding, spraying, the color, everything. That was all. But the engine, we are still learning. Today, you can't even see. Hyundai is everywhere. It's the most popular car all over the world. How did they catch up with Toyota and Germans and Japan? All these people who are so far. By copy humbly. Humbly. You are too proud. That is why you can't achieve much. Everybody who has achieved a lot has achieved it by the same method of copying. Kabaya Shatala Baba. So you must seek new light. And it's not everything you understand. That is why you have to learn how to copy things. Because copying is a master key. If she sings beautifully, copy. Why are you so proud? What is your problem? Ask your neighbor, why? What is the difficulty in copying and following? That's why children learn languages easily. If I bring a little child here to learn Tagalog, within a few months, the child will be speaking. If I take you to Saudi Arabia and you are 10 years old, 6 years old, in a few minutes you'll be speaking. But you take a grown-up who is proud, too big. You can't pronounce. When you pronounce one word, they laugh at you. You are affected. You feel you're laughing at me. You keep quiet. And your pride prevents you from learning and following and humbly learning. I sent a missionary once to South America, Venezuela, with his daughter. Within a few months, his daughter was rattling Spanish. And you should still see him now stammering. But the little child, no problems. Children are so humble. That's the method God gave to children to learn. And that's the method Jesus used when he came to this world, following and copying. So I wrote a whole book on following and copying, the art of following. How do you think now we have the largest crusades in Africa? I followed Bonnke. I copied everything he did. Even his electrical setup, I took photographs and I copied everything. The height of his loudspeaker, everything. I copied everything, 100%. Yes. I met him in Lagos. I was just in the lobby when I was asking him, how long is this here? He said, 5 days. All our crusades are 5 days. I called my crusade director. I said, change the crusade immediately. 5 days now. From now, it's 5 days. At first, we were doing 3 days. I said, 5 days. I don't know why he does 5 days. There's a reason why he does 5 days. Do it for 5 days. Why do you do that? I don't know why you do. I follow. That's how come I've been catching up. Yeah. Healing ministry. I follow healing. I watched Benny Hinn for years. How he does it. That's how come you see me ministering healing. Yeah. Instead of saying anything, I just decided to follow, to learn, humbly. And there are many isolated islands of knowledge that a person may have. You can learn if you are humble. Yes. I came to Korea. I said, I want my church to be big. And today my church is very big. Yeah. I'm experiencing all these things by following. So don't stay in your pocket of isolated knowledge. Let's look at a church growth, brother. Church growth, fine. Amen. I'm talking about light, knowledge. Yeah. I have 3 books on church growth. Mega Church and Malaking Simbahan. What's that? Big church. Ang paglago in Simbahan. That's what? Growing church. And this is what? Pagtatayo Simbahan. Planting. Church planting. Yeah. Planting. Yeah. But you see, pastors don't read. Pastors don't read. So you stay in your isolated pocket of knowledge. We don't watch videos. We don't listen to preaching. How can you develop? Yes. How can you grow? You are only going to follow a Filipino model. God is working all over the world. The Filipino model, there may be things for me rather to come and learn from here. But you have something to learn from somewhere. Amen. And you need to step into the different levels of knowledge. How many have heard of Martin Luther? Martin Luther, only 4 people. This 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do you know what happened in the days of Martin Luther? Martin Luther was a normal Catholic priest. And in those days, the Catholic priests believed mostly in, for salvation, you pay penance. You see certain artifacts, certain things. They had on show different things. There were some steps called the Sancta Scala, holy steps, where if you stand on, they said that was where Jesus stood on when he was judged by Pontius Pilate. So when you see these things, you touch them, you kneel on them, you walk, milk from the virgin's breast, tooth from Daniel in the lion's den, one of the teeth of one of the lions. Different things. When you see them or you touch them, your salvation comes. So Martin Luther was a normal priest. This is what he believed in. But he was struggling because he felt he was sinful. So one day the priest, the senior priest, decided to send Martin Luther to the Bible school because they felt he would be less of a problem over there. So they sent Martin Luther to the Bible school to go and teach. And you know what they gave him to teach? They gave him teach Ephesians, teach Romans and Psalms. These three books, which he had already, but he had never read. So as he started reading Ephesians, he saw, we are saved by grace. Saved by grace? What is it meaning to be saved by grace? Then he read Romans. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. He was shocked. He said, we are saved. We are justified by faith. Romans 6. Amazed. He was shocked. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, he was in his isolated world of Catholic knowledge. And then he broke out by reading the Bible, which a book in the Bible, which he already had but had not read. And then, after 2 years of reading it over and over and over, you see, it takes years to read books. Did you hear me? Everybody say it takes years to read books. Yeah, it takes a lot of years to read one book to understand it. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I accept some man guide me? So after 2 years, Martin Luther took what he had read and understood and summarized his version. You see, until you can almost write what you've read, you've not really read it. Yeah. Yes. When I got hold of Pastor David Samuel's book, it is in one of the church growth manuals. He talked about visiting. When Jesus visited, this one visited. He spoke about his experience in the Philippines with pastors that he was encouraging to visit the members. I got hold of the material. And I also written my own little version of it. Same thing, actually. Yes. And Martin Luther wrote what he understood and nailed it to the church door. That's what started the Reformation. 500 years, we are celebrating 500 years now since that day. And today, everybody knows Martin Luther. Everybody will know you when you start to have new light and new revelation. Nobody knows you today, but I tell you, by going further and deeper into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, you start to become even a famous person. Years ago, somebody gave me a book. That's what changed my ministry. Somebody gave me a book by Kenneth Hagin. I wouldn't say changed my ministry, changed my life. A book by Kenneth Hagin. Have you heard of Kenneth Hagin? I hope you... Yeah, okay. So, and I started to read it. Little book. When I read it, I said, wow! That's all I said. Wow, what else has he written? And I went to look for more of his books. And then I started to listen to his preaching. I'm talking about a minister. I listened for 10 years and was reading his books for 10 years. One day, please put on Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Beautiful. Hey, you guys getting fast. One night, you know, whilst I was in medical school, my final year, all right, I was praying and listening to the person that I'd been listening to. I just like listening to him. I mean, like a radio. It was like on. Instead of listening to the radio, I listened to preaching. And I was listening, and I knelt down by my bed, praying, and then I fell asleep. How many have fallen asleep whilst you were praying before? It happened to me that night. But I woke up at about 2 a.m. I was still on my knees praying. And suddenly, the tape which was playing over there, all right, the tape was there playing. Something jumped out of the tape and entered into my belly. I felt it. Supernatural. And then I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, from today, you can teach. This was in 1988. It's almost 30 years now. He says, from today you can teach. And then I heard another voice. And the voice said, I will prove it to you. You see, that was the day I became anointed with a teaching anointing to teach and to write. My father, spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, wrote many books. And most of his books were to pastors. Where's his anointing? Give me the books. Yeah. When he died, mostly pastors were at his funeral. Thousands of pastors. They were offering to be ushers at his funeral. Everybody wanted to be an usher to do something at his funeral. Most of my books are towards pastors. Most. Somebody was encouraging me, write a book like this, people will buy. So I don't write books for people to buy. Because my books are not a business. Thank you. It's all in your language, please. I cannot read. It's too slow. I have to learn more. I wrote a book called Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. When I went to America, an American lady looked and said, what a terrible title for a book. She said, no one will ever buy this book. And I said to myself, I didn't write for anybody to buy. I'm writing the word of God. It's not about making sales. It's not about, and can you believe that? Writing these things, I have published almost 20 million books. Million, not thousand. Million books. Yeah. When Kenneth Hagin died, he had published 65 million books. Yeah. So I'm on my way to catching up with him and going further. Kebalaba shakaya dalaba. All over the world, my books are read, including the Philippines, to pastors. Losing, suffering. It's not about making sales. Are we doing business or we are doing ministry? Come on. Are you doing business or ministry? When you buy this book, I don't get a dollar or a cent. It doesn't do anything to my life. It is your life. It is light for you. To lose, to suffer, to sacrifice, to die for Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. You can't change that. You can't change that. You can't modify the Bible. You can't change the word of God. That's why there's no power in the church, because we took that cross and threw it out. Light and knowledge came to me by exposing myself humbly to Kenneth Hagin. Yes, I was young. Young people are humble. The older we get, the more stiff we are, more less yielding to learn anything new. We are stuck in our old ways. You can't bend an old tree. Much blessing. And you see, what happened to me that night is in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. He says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me up upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. You see, the Spirit entered into me when he was speaking to me. That night, on my knees, the Spirit entered into me. The Spirit entered into me. You must believe in supernatural things. I would not be standing here if it was not for the supernatural power of God. The Spirit entered. Look at it. It says, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet. I got up, and I knew that I was anointed. I was a young boy, 25 years old. Yeah. I had just 20 people in my church. 20 people. But today I have thousands. Thousands. Yeah, thousands of churches. Thousands of churches, not members. God is going to give you something great when you expose yourself to light. And you see, it will be said of you, there is a man in your kingdom. There's light in him. There's knowledge. There's understanding. But we keep ourselves out. You see a book, you pass by, so give me meat pie. Give me, what food do you eat here? What food do the people buy here? Rice. Pork barbecue. Chobo, eh? Adobo. Give me two adobos, you know. Give me two, not a book. I don't need a book, I need adobo. I need rice, I need what? Noodles, chicken, pork. Gulaman. Yeah. How do you know that, Gulaman? How do you know already? You just came. How do you know all this? Listen, my friend. There's light. God wants to bring new light. Yes, new anointings to your ministry. God is calling us. You can't leave the Philippines to any other religion. You can't leave your country to fall to devils. We cannot leave the nation. As people are born and there are thousands and millions of people here, we cannot leave them and let any other religion or other things come and capture the souls and the hearts of the people. The pastors have to rise up and be militant and do the work of God with a new power and zeal. Can I have an amen from somebody? Yes. Turn to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I want you to watch something, and I need you to watch this powerfully on the screen, because God is going to do new things in the Philippines. He's going to use you to do newer things. We are going to new levels. I said we are going to do greater things than we've done up till now. In the name of Jesus. Now watch. How many would like an angel to visit you? Like, please visit me, dear angel. Shabakayadalaba. Now it says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, rainbow was on his head, his feet was as it were the sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire. Fantastic. May your eyes open to start seeing angels in Jesus' name. Verse 2. Look at verse 2. Beautiful. And he had in his hand, what was this angel bringing? This whole chapter is about angel bringing a little book. He says he had in his hand a little book. You say you want an angel. And what is the angel going to bring? A little book. Open. And he set his foot on the right on the sea and his left foot on the earth. That's a big one, eh? Where is the sea? Is the sea nearby? How far? Not far. Yeah, so but can you imagine even from here to the sea, one leg here, one leg in the sea. Can you imagine how tall this angel is going to be? Huh? Very, very big angel. It's a big one. God is going to send you a big angel. Verse 3. And he cried with a loud voice, as when an angel roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Verse 8. Now notice. And the voice I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said. Are you listening to the angel? This is a big angel. This is a vision for you. Vision. The angel, a voice I heard said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. How many of us know that even this one requires some effort from you to go and take the book? The angel has appeared. You would have thought that the angel would stretch his hand. I said, no, you go and take the book. So there can be books in your house, like Martin Luther had the Bible. He had never read it. One of the books that really affected my life is a book called The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. I recommend that book to everybody. But when somebody gave me the book and I first started reading it, I thought to myself, what strange book is this? And later it began to really bless me. Of all the books I've ever read, that book, The Final Quest, if you have a chance to get it by Rick Joyner, it's worth reading because it's to pastors. It's about pastors who died. In the chapter on the white throne. When I got home, I went to look in my library and I found two copies of that book. I have had that book for years, but I never looked at it. So there is some effort from you required to go get the book. Are you listening? Now, verse 9. What's going to happen? Let's watch. Magic. Everybody, are you watching? It's like magic. Something is going to happen. So I went to the angel and I said to him, give me the little book. And he said, take it and eat it up. Eat it. And it shall make thy belly bitter and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. So he didn't say read the book. There's a difference between reading a book and eating a book. When you eat something, it becomes part of your flesh. That's why I can't see the noodles and the rice you've eaten on your face. I don't see the noodles and rice because it has become part of you. You are made up of noodles, rice, chicken, pork. But I can't see pork on your face. Adobo, what is it called? Adobo. I can't, what is adobo? Adobo. Pork. Adobo. Hey. I can't see adobo all over your face. But I just see your face because the adobo has mixed up and become part of you. So when you eat a book, it is now part of you. So when you speak, it's original. Somebody was telling me, your books are very original. I laughed to myself. There's nothing original about me. Nothing about what I'm doing is original because I learned everything from somewhere. It's only you haven't asked me where I learned it from. If you ask me, I'll tell you, but not once I'm preaching. After preaching, I'll tell you. So today marks the beginning of you eating books. Humbly eating books. Now let's watch what is going to happen. He says, first of all, it will be bitter and sweet. Ministry is not only sweet. Ministry is also bitter. Anybody who hasn't experienced bitterness in ministry, you are not in real ministry. Ministry is sweet and bitter. Huh? Bitter and sweet. It's nice and not nice. Yes. You will not know until you go deeper in ministry. It's both nice and not nice. Yeah. When it goes deep, it's not nice. Initially, it's sweet. But as you go deeper, there's some bitterness. Kabaya shatalabala. Verse 10. Quickly, magic. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up and it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was sweet. Now, I want you to see four major changes that are going to happen in your ministry after eating this book. Four. Everybody say four. Four. Four major changes. How many want four major changes in your life and your ministry? Only six people here want major changes. More want major changes. Look at the next verse. It's going to tell us the four major changes that are going to take place in your life and your ministry. Number one, he says, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people. So your ministry now changes from few people to many people. Receive many people in Jesus' name. Many people, many people. Many, instead of always a little Bible study group and a few people that is not working, you are now going to have many people. I said many people. Many people, many people, many people, many people, many people. Many people will be affected by your life when you start to eat the little book. This whole book, this is the last verse in this chapter. This is the last verse. He said, take the book and eat it. This was going to happen. Many people. Second change, nations. You are going to speak to nations. So instead of just being confined to the Philippines, all right, you are going to speak to other countries. Receive your international ministry. How many want an international ministry? Nations, nations, nations. That's why I'm here in the Philippines today. I have an international ministry. A few weeks ago, I was in Ethiopia having a conference. A few weeks before that, I was in Zambia. Before that, I was in Mozambique. Before that, I was so many places. And also in my home. So you go to many nations. God will use Filipinos. Kalabashatayabala. God will use you in the nations of the world. God will send you to the nations of the world. God will use you to speak. He said, you must prophesy to nations. It's not your wish. It's his wish. And then number three, tongues. Different tongues. Languages. Huh? You see, when you eat books that God has ordained for you to eat, you speak to language. Look at me. I have my book here in so many languages. Spanish, French, German, Swahili. Many languages. Indian languages. All over. Tagalog now. 60 of them. All in Tagalog. Tongues. You know, at first I used to be irritated when I have an interpreter. When I have an interpreter speaking. When I speak, the interpreter speak. You know, at first I didn't like it. But when I read this verse that it's a fulfillment of a prophecy, that I have to speak to different tongues. Then I became excited. I said, it means when there's an interpreter, I'm speaking to another tongue as well. So sometimes I have even two interpreters, sometimes three interpreters in a crusade. I speak one, this one speaks, this one speaks, this one speaks, then it's my turn. It takes a long time. So I can even send text in between, you know. I'm waiting for the next person to finish. Your ministry is going to be nice. I said, your ministry is going to be nice. Did you hear me? I said, your ministry is going to be nice. Tongues, tongues. And then finally, you speak to the kings. Yes, you speak to kings, heads of states, presidents, higher levels will be listening to you. Why? How did this come about? By the books. Just a little book. Listening to, reading, learning more things. Now, when you take a pastor, what more is of concern to you than building a church? Than loyalty and having a stable congregation? What is more interesting to you than to be a good shepherd and how to be a good minister? These are the books that I'm sharing with you today. I'm offering them to you. What would be more interesting to you than to have a big church, a mega church? What would be more interesting to you than to have the anointing? I mean, if you are a minister, well, don't you want to be like Jesus, who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me? Don't you want to be anointed? So these are the things that I'm sharing with you in this box of books. I want to encourage you, if God has called you and you believe in it, you must seek for light, for knowledge, and one day to be said of you what was said in Daniel 5:11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom there is light. Are you seeing that? In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom was found in him, like the wisdom of the gods. In whom thy king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, made him change his name. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Tell somebody, I'm getting light. Tell somebody, I'm getting light. Kalabashandala Baba. Today, I'm putting in your hand a key. How many realize you have received a key? How many realize you have received a key? Please put on Luke 11, verse 52. Luke 11, I want to use this. I want to close with this verse as you are standing. Why not? That we always have dessert, isn't it? Luke 11, 15. What does it say? Woe unto you, lawyers. Woe unto you, lawyers. You have taken away the key of knowledge. Knowledge is a key. Look at it. He says, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You see, the knowledge is a master key to open many doors for your life and your ministry. It's a master key. You have taken away the key of knowledge. Knowledge is a key. So hold the knowledge. I tell you, we don't know many things. You know, God showed me recently something. He showed me. He showed me. He said, you don't know all this. And I was shocked. I thought I knew everything. Hey. And God showed me small boys. The small boys are now teaching me. Yes. Small boys. People who I can give birth to. Amazing. Are you ready to learn something new and move into a new room? What does a key do? It gives you an access to a room that you've never had before. And I see you entering new rooms, new doors, new places, new chapters, new nations. He says you've taken away the key of knowledge. Underline it. Key of knowledge. Mr. Screenman, learn how to underline. There's a way to underline. You underline key of knowledge. Huh? Key of knowledge. How many love the key of knowledge? How many know you are going into a new room? Some of you don't have peace in your marriages. A key of knowledge will give you peace. Oh yes, it will take you, open the door of peace. You just enter and there's peace. The things will calm down. Receive that key. Lift your hands and ask God for the light. Father, thank you for the blessing of the light you've given us today. Thank you for your beautiful, wonderful light of the knowledge of the gospel, the light of the knowledge of God. The light, your word is a light. Your law is a light to us. We receive the light in our hearts. We receive the light and the revelation, Lord, the strength you've given to us, Lord, to access new dimensions and new realms. Thank you for blessing your wonderful servants, your hardworking pastors, Lord, with new light, Lord. Thank you for new light, for branches, building churches, Lord, doing works, Lord, doing greater works, doing better things, Lord, for you, for your kingdom, for your name. Thank you for sending us to the nations of the world, to other people, to poor people, to people who speak different languages from us, Lord. Thank you for raising up a mighty light, Lord, a mighty fortress in this land. Thank you for doing exploits, Lord, things that have never been done up till now. We give you praise, Father. Lay your hands on your belly. Father, thank you. I pray that everyone here will receive in their belly, Lord, a river of living water flowing. Flow, river, flow. Flow, Holy Ghost, flow. Flow, Shaka Balamba Banda. Flow, let there be a flow of the Spirit. A flow of the Spirit, mighty flow of the Spirit of God in the life of everyone, Lord. Makayamola Shatala Baba. Let there be a flow to water. Water the fields, Lord. Break up the fallow grounds, Lord. Let your seed work, Lord. Let your seed flow. Let your seed bear fruit, Lord, in the lives and the hearts of your people. Ah, we pray for Manila. We pray for the Philippines. We pray for the islands, Lord. Let your light shine, Lord. Let there be no dark cloud that take over this nation, Lord. Let your light spread to every corner. Let your power spread to every place. We thank you for a new light. We lift our hands and we thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. God bless you. Thank you.